It's The Burt Show.
What was the name of the movie where the wife knows about a mistress and then the mistress finds out about another mistress?
The Other Woman?
The Other Woman.
It's like with Cameron Diaz, yes. Leslie Mann.
Yeah.
And Kate Upton, I think it was.
And Kate Upton.
How about that?
The wife found out he had a mistress. And then the mistress found out he had another side piece. So they're wondering, how do all of them handle it? Abby's got the email.
Hello, everyone. I want to just start by saying that I don't have any plans to leave my husband. I just feel lost, confused, angry, and emotional. Everything feels like it's crashing down on me. My husband and I have been married for 15 years, have two young children, a boy and a girl, and he has a son from a previous relationship who also lives with us. I found out a few years ago that he was having an affair, and he confessed that he fell in love with this person, but he wanted to make our relationship work. I had filed for divorce to scare him, and he promised me that he cut all contact with her and wanted to figure out what went wrong, that he even decided to cheat. Everything has been great. We got past it by going to therapy and learning how to love each other again. This weekend, the same woman from all those years ago messaged me today saying, please ask your husband once and for all to please leave me alone.
Whoa.
Apparently, she figured out we were still together. All those feelings came rushing back. We've been talking about it, and it turns out he never stopped seeing her. He was selling her a dream, telling her that we were getting a divorce. I'm now thinking that he just wants to make things work because he doesn't want to lose in the divorce. He's successful, but we've built this business together. I also found out that he was away in Mexico this weekend when he told me he was away for work with a whole different woman. God works in mysterious ways. Turns out a friend of mine was on vacation and saw him and took videos of him with this other woman.
And the universe does that all the time. Like, you think you're going to get away with something, and the unlikeliest person will be in the most unlikeliest place at the exact same time of you, so you can get stone cold busted.
Yep. The universe was doing its thing. I just don't know what to do. I want to confront him, but I'm not sure if she and I should do it together, so he doesn't have any way to manipulate his way out of it like he always does. I also want our marriage to work. Do I just turn a blind eye and allow this to happen under my nose? Do I leave and the kids have to deal with separating households? Please, any advice would be appreciated.
Okay. Well, I mean, my advice you're not going to take because you said you want to work this out with your husband. But it seems to me it takes two people to make a marriage work. And he's not going to do that.
No, he is what he is. And he clearly is showing no signs of changing. I don't think he ever will. And unfortunately, with you staying through him behaving this way, it's enabling him at this point. And if she doesn't want to leave, that's unfortunate, and I feel for her. But then you have to accept that this is just the way that your marriage is going to be, because I don't see him ever changing on his own.
No, and it sounds like he's a pathological liar, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. To lie and say that you've cut off all communication and then to go behind her back and then completely do the exact opposite.
And also to lie to the mistress saying, I'm getting a divorce from my wife. We're not working. Like, he's lying to his wife and he's lying to his mistress.
He's lying to everybody.
And probably lying to the side piece of the mistress.
Oh, my God.
Dude, this is so sad because it's so commendable to me that you're willing to do whatever it takes to stick it out. Like, you took those vows, you took them seriously. And it's so, so heartbreaking to me that he can't even do the bare minimum by staying faithful.
I don't think it hurts to say something, though, because you have the video. I don't think you should show it to him expecting for him to be honest or to change. But if you just kind of want to show him that I know what's going on and this is how you're out here moving and embarrassing us, hopefully that'll make him feel something inside that'll motivate him to want to be a better husband.
I agree. I mean, you're well beyond your right to say something. I think we just want to let you know that you stay in this marriage, this is what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see him all of a sudden watching this video and seeing the error of his ways and all of a sudden becoming completely faithful to you. If you want to stay in this, and that's your choice, then that's your choice. But be prepared to know you're staying with a man who is never going to be able to be faithful.
Well, a marriage,
and I know never say never, but this just screams he needs to work on himself. I would ask him to do, like, he needs to go do his own self-therapy.
Yes, for sure.
Well, a marriage, it's like, I mean, it's literally a contract. And so if you think about anything else in life that involves a contract, if you constantly are in breach of that contract and going against it, like, in the business world, that ends. Like, you go to court. And so it is funny that when people are involved, when emotions are involved, we're willing to overlook all of that. To me, if I'm you, like, I think it's commendable that you want to stick it out, but I just don't see this ending well.
The Burt Show.
All right, changing gears. What lie did you tell your kids? Tommy shared this TikTok with me, and I thought I was going to be mad about it, but my God, it was so funny.
It made me laugh so hard.
It's wrong, but it's funny what this dad did to his daughter. Before we play this TikTok of what this dad lied to his daughter about, because it's just a bold-faced lie, right? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. If you would like to share the lighthearted lie you told your child, or if you even remember as a kid, a lie that your parent told you that you believed in until you were in adulthood and then somebody had to like make you feel foolish, like, no, that's not even remotely true. But so this dad went viral for lying to his daughter about the movie Titanic. All right, just brace yourself.
Oh, gosh.
My daughter and her friend just got done watching the 1997 mega hit Titanic. Now, I don't ever remember learning about the Titanic in school. I'm sure I did. I just don't really remember it. But I think I've always known the Titanic was a real boat and it was a real event. My daughter and her friend come into the living room after just watching this movie, and they have tears rolling down their face. And I was like, it's a pretty sad movie, right? And my daughter said, that movie was so sad, I wish they would have wrote it differently. And her friend said, yes, they should have made it more of a happy ending. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And they're like, well, I wish the ship wouldn't have sank. And I was like, well, they had to do that to keep it historically accurate. And they looked at each other and they looked at me and they said, what do you mean historically accurate? The ship really sank? So I'm sitting there and I'm like, yeah, it was a real event. And they start crying even more. And they said, so Rose and Jack were real? Now my mind starts racing. I'm trying to think of things really quick. And I'm like, of course they are. Where do you think we got the name Rose for the flower at? And they looked at each other and they said, roses were named after her? And I was like, yes. And they said, that is so beautiful. And they turned and are holding each other and quietly grieving as they walk back to her room. Now, I'm just sitting here thinking, how much further can I go with this before they find out what I have just said is not true?
Stop. So the fact that they think Rose and Jack were a real couple and that roses, the flower, were named after her. Like, I wanted to be mad at him, but it was so funny. And I was like, oh, that is a classic dad move if I ever heard one.
I thought he was going to lie and say it wasn't a real event
too,
so they wouldn't feel as sad. But he made them sadder.
He dug in.
He's like, not only was it real, but Jack and Rose, the greatest love story of all time, was real.
All right, Keisha, thanks for joining the conversation. What lie did you tell your kids and you don't feel the least bit bad about it?
So we're from the Midwest, and traveling to the Midwest, there's these machines that have smoke in them, right? Mm-hmm. And I used to always tell my kids, oh my God, look at the cloud machines. And they would be so excited when we would go home to see these cloud machines. So when my daughter was in fourth grade, she came home and she was like, Mom, we were learning about clouds today, and that is not how clouds are made. And you had me looking crazy in school. And I
was like, oh. That's good.
Jesse, thanks for calling. Welcome to the Burt Show. What lie did you tell your kids?
I told a little white lie that I feel is a parenting hack. I told my daughter to finally get her to sleep in her own bed that monsters are afraid of cats. So now she grabs the cat by her tail almost and drags her in there every night. But I get my own bed.
That's smart. Ain't no wrong with that.
So I sleep with my cat every night.
Do you guys have any recollection of any lies your parents told you? I got told that if I swallow a watermelon seed, a watermelon would grow in my stomach. So I, no joke, was terrified of any fruit. If it was like seeds and oranges, seeds and watermelon. And if I remember correctly, I think I actually did swallow the seed of an orange. And I was at school It was either first or second grade. And I went to my teacher and I started crying because I was afraid an orange was going to start growing in my stomach. And she had to explain to me that that did not happen when you swallow it.
All I can think of is I lie to my kids all the time, but it's more like, they're like, can I have some of your food? And I say, oh, it's so spicy. Oh, but it's like Honey Nut Cheerios. I'm like, you wouldn't like it. It's spicy. Or, oh, can we get ice cream? Oh, I'm sorry, honey. It's 1 p.m. The ice cream store is closed for the day. Mm-hmm. It's just not. So I just do those dumb little lies.
I can only think of the typical one of my grandmother telling me that if I watched too much TV, I would go blind.
What?
Oh, my God.
That is not typical.
No, that wasn't like a... Because I think for some people, it was if you sit too close to the TV. But for her, it was just if you watch too much TV, period. Like, you could go blind.
You could go blind.
Because she didn't want me to watch a lot of TV.
That's traumatic.
The Burt Show.
Look, there are some cities that if you want to go join your friends in, your significant other is going to have no problem with it whatsoever. There are others that are more red flags. I've heard Mo talk about this on his podcast In the Moment. Also, like, you go ahead, you tell your girl you want to go with a group of friends down to Columbia, you're probably going to get some pushback.
if you want to go to Columbia or Brazil or any place like that, you're probably not going to be able to make that happen in most relationships.
You tell them you want to go to Columbus, Georgia, they're going to say, go ahead.
Enjoy yourself.
Columbia, South Carolina.
Columbia, South Carolina. Another one. All right. Samantha here just wants to go away with her girls. I think the city might be the problem that her husband has a problem with. Hey, Samantha.
Hi, guys.
Hello. So you want our help texting your husband over this whole thing. What's going on?
Okay. So and thank you, by the way, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I would really, really, really love your help to ask my husband for permission to go on a girls' trip to Miami.
Permission? You have to ask permission?
Said, Kristen said popped up. Like, yeah.
No. I mean, he's not a controlling man, but a good girlfriend of mine just got a divorce, and she wants to go to Miami to, you know, celebrate being single, and he just doesn't, this particular friend my husband does not like or trust in any way. So, you know, there's a couple others that he also thinks, like, dress inappropriately, and they act inappropriately, and so, you know, I guess to give you an example, when they were married, we would all go out together and I would invite my husband, and he would see a couple of these women flirt with other men while their husbands were not around, things like that. And he knows for a fact that two of them have actually, like, hooked up with other men while their husbands were, you know, maybe, like, gone for the evening or not around. And so he's not a huge fan of some of these women, and it's a big ask. It's like a real big ask, and I really don't want it to cause a fight, and they're my girlfriends. They're my girls. Mm-hmm. So
you love them regardless of the mistakes they have made.
Of course, because they're human beings, and, like, we don't know what's going on in a marriage. We have no idea. So it's like, you know, I get why he doesn't trust them, but I'm not them. I'm me, and he trusts me. He just doesn't. He thinks they're a bad influence.
Oh, I hate all these things. All right, first of all, Miami is everything he hates. If he hates women that are dressing in a provocative way in whatever city you're calling from, that's how you dress in Miami. That's how you go to church on Sundays in Miami. The second thing that's going to trip us up here, and I can already see it with Kristen and Abby also, is permission. Is this normally how you and your husband handle your relationship, that it's not more of a, hey, how do you feel about me going to Miami? It's a, hey, can I go to Miami?
I mean, I don't think so. My girlfriend would say yes, but I don't think so. I really think it's about, like, just respecting boundaries and making sure that my husband is, you know, aware. And also he does the same for me. He'll ask me permission to, like, go hang out with the boys on, you know, a weekend night or whatever, when it's our night to hang out. So it's just about letting, I don't want to call it permission, because he doesn't own me and I don't feel that way in our marriage. I just want him to feel respected, and I want him to feel like it's also his decision as much as it is my decision.
And I don't disagree with that, because, like, and I'm just getting hung up on the word permission, because I just had this conversation with my husband, Samantha. I have three girlfriends who, I mean, it's not Miami, but they're doing a trip to Dallas, right? And it's girls that I haven't seen in a while, girls that I used to get wild with back in the day. Granted, we're not so wild anymore, but when the ask was sent in the group text, I went to him and I said, hey, is it cool if I go to Dallas this weekend, to spend X amount of money on flight and hotel, because those are mm-hmm. large expenditures that if you're in a committed mm-hmm. relationship and a relationship, you run those by each other. And if you're okay with watching our child solo for the weekend. So right. I get it. And I mean, I didn't say it was asking permission, but I guess technically.
Yeah, tomato, tomato. I mean, you really
are. I think,
are.
Yeah, if you're splitting hairs mm-hmm. here. But I would be so offended if he booked an entire weekend mm-hmm. and had planned on spending, you know, anything over a certain amount of money, and I was left to watch our son by ourselves. Like, you have to run that stuff by your partner. Otherwise, you're walking all over your partner.
Sure. And there's another exactly. stumbling block for me here also that we can get into when we come back. And that's the whole, I trust you, I just don't trust everybody else, which I have always felt is 100% BS. If he trusts you and you're trustworthy, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. If he really trusts you. Right?
I agree. Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm going to Dallas. Just to rub it in a little more.
And she'll be going to Miami by the time we're done.
Okay.
All right, so Samantha, give us a couple of seconds here. We will formulate a game plan, and when we come back, we will text your husband and ask him how he feels about the idea of you going to Miami with your friends, okay?
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, Texting Tutor coming up next on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, so we are about to start texting for Samantha. She needs our help texting her husband because she wants to go to Miami with her girlfriends for a weekend. He's not invited. They are celebrating a friend's divorce. Her husband is pretty conservative, very conservative. And she knows that, in her words, if I ask him for permission, there's going to be some tension here. So she wants our help texting him to get her clearance to go to Miami and hang out with her friends.
All right. So, and just to clarify, Samantha, how long have you all been married?
We've been married for 10 years.
Okay. Are there any young kids that he's going to be responsible for looking after while you're gone?
No, not yet.
Okay. All right. So, and financially, are you guys pretty financially secure right now?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Okay. Yeah, there's no reason why he should say no.
I have a game plan already.
You do now.
We have to get her in a situation where he owes her one, so we need to set him up for an affair.
What?
She catches him.
Oh.
And then he feels so bad about it, he lets her do whatever she wants.
Oh, okay.
All right. Just go and trap him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Cool.
And that not working for you guys?
That's going to take a lot of time. I'm tired.
Okay. Okay, so using your words a couple of minutes ago, you want to make sure that he feels respected, uh-huh. right? So maybe that's where we start.
Hey.
Probably would make it better if the ask appeared to be lighter than it actually is.
Yeah.
Like if we try to downplay
yeah.
it.
I would want Tiffany just to come to me and say, hey, how do you feel about me going to Miami this weekend with my girlfriends?
Simple.
I like that too. So, hey, is it cool if I go to Miami?
I would like to go more than is it cool?
Mm-hmm. Is it cool as asking for permission?
You're asking at that point.
Hey, comma, I would like to go to Miami in 2 weeks to reconnect with my girlfriends, period.
Okay. Hey, comma, I would like to go to Miami in 2 weeks to reconnect with my girlfriends.
Period. I've checked flights and they're reasonable. Are they reasonable?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're addressing everything he could possibly say right in the first text.
Yep. Yeah. I've checked flights and they're reasonable. Also checked our calendar and we're clear. And I'm clear.
Our calendar and I'm clear. Okay. So
how do you feel? I don't think we're done yet. How do you feel about me going?
See, because I feel like if you ask that and then he says, I don't like it.
Then, yeah, you're out.
You're out.
Well, then we say,
played your cards.
Well, then we say why and then we get into it. I mean, at some point, this is going to come up.
Might as well.
Or do we just put at the end, cool, ?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we got rid of the cool in the beginning and now we're just putting it back in at the end. Mm-hmm. But
just
got
to be prepared for if he says no. Well, then now we got to get into it because you're making it seem as if you're giving him an option.
We're assuming that he's going to say no.
Right.
So.
Well, even if he's not cool with it, doesn't mean we can't go.
Cool feels a little flippant, though. Like, cool? Like, it sounds like something like a kid would say to their parents, like, this is cool, right? Maybe something more like, is that okay? Question mark? No.
I would just leave it closed-ended.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right, read back what you got, Samantha.
Okay. Hey, I would like to go to Miami in a couple weeks to reconnect with my girlfriends. I've checked flights and they are reasonable. I'll check our calendar and I'm clear.
I do feel like it needs something at the end.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind?
No.
Because
we don't care if he minds.
Yeah.
Are you good with that? Question mark.
We don't have anything going on that weekend, right? Like something like that. Would, you know what I mean?
So you're Jedi mind tricking him.
Yeah. Exactly.
To address one thing, but
I
not
like
the
it.
Other.
Yeah. So take, okay, so ready, Samantha? Take out the stuff about the calendar and just put like, we don't have anything going on that weekend, right? Question mark. I like it.
Uh-huh. Distract him.
On that weekend, right? Question mark. Okay, so I took out the stuff of the calendar. Now it says, hey, I would like to go to Miami in a couple weeks to reconnect with my girlfriend. I've checked flights and they are reasonable. We don't have anything going on that weekend, right?
Perfect. Boom. Hit send.
Okay. Oh my God, I'm nervous. Okay. Bent. Oh my gosh.
Okay, now I'm trying to just play the part of your husband, knowing what you've told us. It's probably going to be something like, no, we don't have anything going on this weekend, but...
Who you going with?
Right. Yep.
Here come all the details.
We're all going to be there.
Yep.
What are you wearing?
I'll go with you.
Oh, my God. If my husband asked me, because I went to Miami for a friend's birthday, right? Mm-hmm. If he would have asked me what I was packing or what I was wearing...
Well, I mean, you fell in love with a guy that... That wouldn't even be an option.
No.
Right?
I'd be like, get out of here.
Oh, no. Okay, he responded.
Uh-huh.
One word. Seriously?
No.
Oh, ooh. I don't like that at all. What kind of response is
either.
That?
I think
you know, he's typing again. Hold on. He's typing some more.
I was just going to say, match his energy and just go 100.
No, I would seriously respond back with, what kind of response is that?
I would say, what do you mean? Question mark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Huh?
You got more bubbles?
That's right what I was saying.
I know. The bubbles are taking forever.
It's fine. Okay. Just like let him have his bubbles. He might redeem himself with the second
text.
He's
steaming.
Is he the jealous type?
I mean, I wouldn't say he, well, not necessarily jealous, but he's very, I would say like protective. Oh, okay.
No, of course he would.
Heard that one.
I'm not jealous. I'm just territorial. What the hell is the difference?
Okay. We're really splitting hairs on this one.
Yes.
Of course. I knew it. Okay. We don't have anything going on, but are you going with the bad influence posse?
This guy.
He sounds like your dad.
The bad influence posse.
I would respond back with, fun fact, I can't be influenced.
Uh-oh.
Now, that's what I would say. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have anything else or something different they would like to respond with?
Nope.
Have you ever made any bad decisions while you were around them?
Have I? I mean, I've gotten too drunk. That's like the worst thing I've ever done is they've influenced me to like have one too many shots. You know,
well, that's going to happen in Miami, and I wouldn't even consider that like a bad. You just had a night out. That's not being a bad influence.
Yeah, right.
That's what I would say. Fun fact: I can't be influenced. That's why you married me. Boom.
Oh, that's good. So should I send that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay,
all right. Pending.
I mean, he's already got a history with you, so you know he's not going to be down with this.
Yeah.
This is going to be. Yeah. This is going to be tense here.
I mean, and I do make him laugh, so hopefully this makes him laugh.
I think the only thing that we can hope for at the end of this is fine. Once you get that, book the tickets.
I'm like ready to click purchase. I like have them in the car. I'm like ready to purchase them. I just don't want it to be a thing.
This whole like, see, we were talking about this earlier, man. Like, this isn't clinging, but I think, a lot of the reason why people avoid committed relationships or marriages is because they feel limiting. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's got to be some kind of balance here where I'm still allowed to be myself. You got to trust me. And I don't feel like I'm being limited by, in all fairness, his insecurities.
Yeah. This is a him thing, not a you thing.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, can you have your freedom?
That's tough for most people to understand.
Right. Mm-hmm. It really is. And, you know, I think it contributes a lot to why people are unhappy in their relationships.
Yes, it does.
It's control, man.
Okay, I got a response, but he's writing some more. So his first response was, I trust you, I just don't trust them.
My favorite line. I hate it. It's such BS.
It is.
It's incredible BS. That feels insulting. if you truly trust me, it doesn't matter what's going on around me.
There it is.
Boom.
And you got to put that, you have to put the word feel in there. My therapist has told me that's really important. That feels insulting, not that's insulting. That feels insulting.
Okay, send it.
Everybody?
Yes, send it.
Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, let the battles begin.
See, this is the thing that, in my opinion, make the best and the healthiest couples. And I would suggest that Kristen and Bart are one of those couples. I would suggest our friends Joel and Molly are that type also.
Molly and I are going away for a weekend together.
I don't trust that. that they and you guys allow each other to be, to live your lives, right? It's not just about the two of you guys. The love is always going to be there, but you're allowed to be individuals within your own relationship.
I can't tell you how excited I would be if my husband came to me and said, hey, Markham, Otis, and I are going to Vegas for the weekend.
Oh, the bad influence posse?
Yes. I would be like, yes, go have some fun.
Malcolm, Otis, and Bart feels like the safest group of guys I have ever heard of.
It's Markham.
Oh, Markham.
Even so.
And that's their Markham in the middle.
And that's their last names.
Okay.
Okay, so we got a response, and he wrote, really? So if I go with my boys to Vegas while you're in Miami, you'd be okay with that? I mean, and honestly, yes, I would be. Yes.
And there it is.
And say that.
Yes.
Say yes.
Okay.
Oh, I see what he's doing here.
Because I trust you.
Yes.
Yes, because I trust you.
Little do we know, he also has Vegas flights pulled up right now. They're both ready to book.
Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be hilarious.
Okay. Immediate bubbles, you guys. He's like, now he's firing off.
I wonder if he is going to dig in and go, fine, I'll book the tickets.
No, I think that he's like, he's flipping the tables, turning the tables.
That's a new level of petty.
He works really hard. He should go to Vegas with his friends.
He's going
to
be out there miserable because he didn't really want to go.
Right.
He's tired.
He's thinking about her the whole time.
And his other friends, their wives won't let him go, so he's there by himself.
He's just in a club in a corner somewhere like, I miss my wife.
Come on.
Does he have any friends, though, that you know are not on the up and up when it comes to their marriage? Because would that change?
No,
actually, all of his friends are terribly sweet. And to be quite honest, like, this conversation is very real for me because I do trust him so much that, yeah, he's got, like, a couple of friends that, not that I don't like them, but they're, you know, they're kind of jerks sometimes and they do really dumb things. But I don't not trust him. I think he's totally trustworthy.
I think... I think in my case, it was like, if you're going with Bert, you know he's going to get everybody super duper hammered. And I would rather.
Yeah, lots of water.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got a response.
Okay.
So he says, okay, I'm fine with it. I trust you. Did the BIP get a discount on Skank Air? I don't know what a BIP is.
That's the bad influence posse, Samantha.
Wow. Oh, Skank Air. That's kind of funny.
Wow. So you got your yes. You got your yes.
Yes.
You had to throw his jab in there.
Yes, but I got it.
Yeah, you got your yes.
Okay.
So
and you should put. You need to respond. Be like, duh, skanks fly for free.
I would ignore the comment, the insult part, and just say, thank you for trusting me.
Boom.
I would ha-ha it because it's a joke. So if you have an iPhone, okay. I would ha-ha that text and then be polite with Bert's text.
Thank you for your trust. I love you.
Okay. Thank you for your trust. I love you. Send.
That man is going to put one of those Apple tags up your butt.
Oh, he said, I do hear skanks get free nuts on the plane.
Okay, this guy. He's a football comedian.
Okay.
Oh, he got jokes now.
Oh, it's all hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Look, you got your yes. It's all good.
Don't sail past the
right,
yes.
Right, right. Now book your tickets right now.
The non-refundable ones.
Right, before you get home, because now he's going to have, 5-6 hours to think about it. And if you buy your tickets, they are non-refundable. Ain't no turning back, okay?
Yeah, go to Miami.
Woo!
Hey.
Gonna love it.
Book your tickets right now, okay? I'm not kidding. I mean, book your tickets right now.
All right, have fun, girl. Don't do nothing stupid.
Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you.
Have
you
a great time.
VIPs.
Bye.
The Bert Show.
Happy Pride Month, everybody. June, if you did not know, is Pride Month. And of course, in honor of Pride Month, the Burt Show wanted to celebrate. And we opened up our Pride line. So this is a phone number you can call and you can leave a voice message. And you can highlight somebody in the LGBTQ plus community that you are proud of. That's why we're calling it the Burt Show's Pride Line. So the number is 404-954-1360. If you have a parent, if you have a child, if you have a cousin, if you have a neighbor, if you have a whomever that belongs to the LGBTQ plus community that you are so proud of and you want to shout their, whether it's an achievement or just who they are as a person from the mountaintop, we are providing the mountaintop in voicemail form. So again, that number is 404-954-1360. If you can't remember that or can't write it down right now, go to theburtshow.com and you'll see everything you need to know about the Burt Show's Pride Line. All right, Abby, you got an email that got you in the feels and just tugged at your heart.
Oh my God. So something really tragic over the weekend, well, last weekend, happened in my hometown. So I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. And while my friends and I were in Chicago, our huge group chat of like gal pals and Jacks were like blowing our phones up with this news story. And we were bopping around Chicago. We weren't paying attention. And I don't live in Jacksonville anymore. So honestly, I saw the headline. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so sad. And then, you know, continued on with the rest of our day. And then I kept seeing these headlines pop up and pop up from people who I know that live in Jacks. And it is the most tragic, heartbreaking story about this 17-year-old girl and her mom who were stabbed by her ex-boyfriend. I want to give you a quick trigger warning. This is going to talk about stalking and stabbing. It is just very, very difficult to listen to. So if that's hard for you, might want to check out of the story. But I just think it's really important to talk about because when relationships end, as somebody who has a breakup podcast, like it's really scary to see what people will do and the lengths they will go to.
What they're capable of.
So basically what happened is...
I actually want you to read the email the Burt Show listener sent you.
The full email?
Yeah, because I think that's important too of how it affected her and why she felt she needed to reach out to you.
Yeah, so the email said, "Good morning, Abby. Welcome to the Burt Show family. Was so excited to hear about your Jack's connection when you joined the show and loved when you spoke about local establishments during some of your first segments. I'm a P1 and I've been since the very beginning when I believe... I was about the 10th caller / person listening. Apparently this was a joke in the beginning of the show.
It was.
I had to tape my antenna to the wall to get a good reception on my stereo system. I have now been living in Jack's for about 12 years. First Neptune, which is an area that I love to go to. Now she lives in Ponte Vedra Beach. But she's been listening through the website and podcast throughout the years. I've been debating over the past few days to reach out as I'm not sure you will share this or if it's asking too much. So glad you shared it. Definitely not asking too much. She said her 17-year-old daughter's friend is a softball player. And as a baseball mom, she knows that softball is life. I'm going to flip back to first person. When she moved to New York down to Ponte Vedra Beach about 7 years ago, my daughter and her were fast friends, as well as her mom and I. We have a group text between the four of us and just all love each other dearly. My daughter's friend is a rising senior, a softball star, and a ray of sunshine in so many lives. She volunteers and gives back whenever she can. She's a friend to so many and always there to brighten anybody's day. She's been an amazing big sister to her three younger brothers and her two older siblings. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree when it comes to her mother. She's hardworking and a loving single mom. She helps in the classrooms for her children and works every evening to support her family. This past weekend, tragedy struck for her and her mom. A little backstory, my daughter's friend had broken up with her ex-boyfriend back in early April and had been harassed by him since. This past weekend, while eating at a local restaurant, she and her mom quickly left after seeing him at the restaurant. The ex had charged after her with a knife. Her mom shielded her and tried to fight off the ex. Both the mother and the daughter were stabbed several times. He then turned the knife on himself after a hero tackled him off the woman when he heard the screams. My daughter's friend was life-flighted to a trauma unit and was in and out of surgery. She was stabbed several times in the back, puncturing her lungs and hitting her spinal cord.
Oh my God.
Currently, she remains in the ICU and is expected to live. However, she's still unable to feel or move her legs. The mother had surgery on her hand yesterday and is still in the hospital too. The local hero, the son of the owners of a popular Palm Valley restaurant, which is a place that my family loves to go to, also had surgery yesterday on his hand where he was cut and has lost feeling and function in most of his fingers on his right hand. We're all devastated and heartbroken, as you can imagine. With all this said, there's a long road to recovery, both mentally and physically. I'm reaching out to see if you would not mind posting the GoFundMe pages on your social media. As you can imagine, the amount of medical bills from the hospital and rehab, as well as mental health counseling, it's going to be significant. My daughter and I want to help them in any way we can, which is why I decided to actually send this email. I would appreciate any help. She also linked her GoFundMe, so I'm personally going to put that in my Instagram bio, at least for the next week, if not longer.
And we're going to share on the Burt Show social media pages as well.
Yeah, for sure. Just seeing this, I mean, I listen to a lot of really crazy relationship stories and breakup stories, and just reading this, I mean, it hit close to home, obviously, because it was in my hometown. Like, I've been to these restaurants, I've been to these areas, and I mean, God, you just would never expect something like this to happen. I mean, that's a very, like, nice, affluent area, and just to, like, hear that this is, like, this happened, like, you would just never expect it. It's so picture perfect, and it's just so sad to hear what this family is going to have to go through. I'm grieved for you, but I'm also excited that we have the resources to help them out, and the platform to be able to share it.
Yeah, because I'm in, you know, you're new to the Burt Show, or newer to the Burt Show. You've only been here a couple of months. But it is crazy, the connections that she's been a Burt Show listener, and now she's living down in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And this story obviously hits close to home for her, because this is her daughter's friend and she reaches out to you. So I do feel sometimes, you know, what's the point of having a voice if you're not going to use it for good? And this is one of those moments that you were able to use it for good.
Yeah. So it feels really good, but God, I just can't believe that this kind of stuff happens. It's terrifying.
Prayers up for them.
Absolutely. All right. So yeah, Abby's going to share on her social media page, and the Burt Show will also share from ours.
The Burt Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, even though I have been coughing and snorting and hawking up loogies, Cassie gave me an Advil, cold and sinus, and I feel like I'm on top of the world. Let's do another Kristen Stupid Bit of the Week. I'm going to instantly regret this. Anyway. All right. So I got a BuzzFeed list here of celebrity encounters, the best and the worst. I'm going to give you the celebrity and you're going to say best, or you're going to say worst when it came to the person's encounter with them. Okay.
Got it.
All right. Your first celebrity. My eye just twitched.
It's the drugs.
It's the drugs, man. Harry Styles.
Oh, best.
I'll go best.
Best. So we have best all around the room. It is best.
Okay.
Give us a ding.
A ding.
Give me a ding, damn it. Thank you. Harry Styles is truly a pure human being. I went to one of his concerts. It was lucky enough to see him just as he was getting in his car to leave. I freaked out but didn't say anything. There was distance between us, but he actually saw me. Pretty sure he came over to make sure I wouldn't pass out from excitement. But when I calmed down, we talked for a bit. I told him it was my birthday, and he congratulated me. I told him just how he saved my life, and he just went quiet and hugged me, chatted a bit more, got a picture, and said goodbye. Best day of my life.
Aww. That's a good interaction.
No. All right, your next one. Jared Leto. Best or worst?
Worst.
Yeah, I'm going to go worst on this one.
I'm going worst.
He is the worst!
Oh, God, yeah! The worst.
Jared Leto is an absolute nightmare. He's such a diva and such a creep. He draws attention to himself in public, then rebuffs his fans when they approach him. Never been a big fan of his band, but I absolutely cannot stand him and make sure I'm never working any events that he will be at. All right. You guys are on a roll. 2 for 2.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Shania Twain.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Pressure's on to go 3.
Let's go, girls.
I'm going best.
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 You did it again!
Right.
In 1995, I met Shania Twain. She sang the national anthem at an NFL game where our university marching band had been asked to play at halftime. After our show, I was loading our truck with the other percussionists at the secret underground entrance when she and her security team exited. She gave us all very kind and genuine compliments on our pregame and halftime shows. We were floored.
She just performed at the CMA Fest and looked amazing. Mm-hmm. She had like this glittery leotard on with a cape. She still got it.
All right. Katy Perry. Worst or best?
I feel like this could go either way.
It really can. For some reason, my gut is telling me worse.
I'm going worst, but I don't think she was actually... Like, you know, I think it's a misinterpretation of who she is.
A bad day kind of thing?
Yeah.
I'm going worst, but I don't feel good about saying it.
Well, you should feel good about getting it right.
Hey.
All right. Worst. Katy Perry was a nightmare. When I went to go see a taping of American Idol, the first season it was back, it was night and day between how Luke Bryan and Lionel Richie treated fans versus how Katy did in between commercial breaks. Luke and Lionel would take selfies with people, including me, while Katy sat at the desk the whole time with her cell phone and would roll her eyes at the teens next to me calling her name. When taping was done for the night, she made a big deal about laying on the walkway and spun around for 1 minute so people could take pictures of her, and then she was out. Totally turned me off from liking her.
Yeah, see, I don't like that because I could imagine like if you go up to her in the middle of the day and she's like, oh, I don't really want to take a photo, but you're at work. You got to turn it on for that at least.
All right. Dave Grohl. Lead singer of the Foo Fighters.
Best. I'm going to go worse, mainly because I don't know him.
I don't know him either. So Cassidy seemed confident in saying best, so I'll follow her lead.
That man is a special person.
If you knew him, you would have said best. Dave Grohl was an absolute dream. I work for a radio station, and I've never had anything but great experiences with that guy. He always seems to be in a good mood, introduces himself to everyone, and he's sincere when he talks to you. Awesome guy.
He's like Keanu Reeves. Like, I've never seen a bad story about him, and I've only ever seen good stories. I think some celebs ride the middle where you never hear anything. Dave and Keanu, always good stuff.
Idina Menzel. She's the voice of Elsa from Frozen and sang Let It Go. So she's primarily on Broadway.
I feel a lot of pressure here because I want to stay perfect.
Don't mess up. I'm going to go worst.
I'll go worst.
Her songs are cold, but I think she's warm. I'm going best.
Worst!
Yes,
Idina Menzel was an absolute nightmare. We waited for 2 hours to meet her. She was super cold, wouldn't give anyone eye contact, and refused pictures. She's amazing in concert, but meeting her popped that rose-colored bubble for me.
Okay, Adele Dazeem, get it together.
All right, what about Patti LaBelle?
Oh, no, don't tell me. It got to be best.
With a name like Patti LaBelle, you know it's got to be the best.
But I'll go best.
Most perfect!
Yes!
I met Patti LaBelle on stage a few months ago. She asked random audience members to come up, so I did. She handed me a mic during Lady Marmalade and commanded me to sing, so I did. After people were leaving the stage, I told her how amazing she is and asked for a selfie. She happily obliged. I was so stunned from that experience, I could barely talk for the next 2 hours.
Wow.
Yes. All right, so yeah, there you go. Again, I guess we should have a disclaimer at the very end. All right, I'll give you some options. God, there's still so many. We'll do them on Monday.
Good. I'm perfect.
Hey, The Bird Show.
All right, so switching gears. How would you support your partner through an event you know will be tense and anticipating crap to hit the fan? That's what the subject title says. And this one also is urgent and needed to be done today because this event is happening this weekend. So we are eking it in just under the wire. Yeah, just under the wire. I'm like, am I saying that right? Sorry, I'm on so many meds. I don't know where I am right now.
It's lit.
I love what you're having.
At least I can cough now and you don't hear the phlegm coming out of the back of my throat. So we're making strides here, people.
Yeah, go. I was feeling like I was in the splash zone. Easy world.
You 100% were. Oh, my God. If you ever have any drama or a dilemma or need advice, please just go to theburtshow.com and shoot us an email and we will try to help you out as best we can. And oftentimes, Burt Show fam has been through something similar. So the email starts, "Hi, Burt Show. Huge fan and just need some guidance ASAP. My fiance's grandmother passed away the other day, and we are traveling this weekend to her funeral service. Here's my issue. His estranged mom and some of his siblings will be there. From what I've been told by family members, his estranged mom and siblings thrive on making things hard and cause drama. I'm not sure how to support him. My fiance is a great man with good character and will make sure to do his part so things are cordial given the situation. Let me answer some questions. My fiance and his mom became estranged after her nasty divorce with his dad. She ran to her family stating it was my fiance's fault for the divorce and that he's abandoning his mother. Her family reached out to my fiance recently, and just in the past 5 years, they got the full story of what happened. Thankfully, he was able to let things go, forgive, and now he's close with his aunts and other cousins. That's a low when a parent blames a child for a divorce.
Yeah.
I don't think it should get lower than that.
No, it really doesn't. He has three siblings altogether, two sisters and a brother. My fiance is the baby out of all his siblings. He's close to one of his sisters. We'll call her Kat. His other sister, Janice, and brother Troy, he has not spoken to for 10 plus years since they helped his mom perpetuate her lies.
Wow.
Parents got divorced when he was young, 10 to 13 years old. So obviously the downfall of their marriage was not his fault.
That's heartbreaking. Mm. She blamed the divorce on a 10-year-old?
It's ridiculous.
He lost half his family after that, too.
Seriously. Mom was not a mom to him before and after the divorce. My fiance has told me his only memory of her was her being in her room. She never cooked, cleaned, or anything, so he took care of himself and actually had to help with his brother, too. Mm. I have never met his mom, Janice, or his brother Troy. I guess my question is, how would you support your partner through an event you know will be tense and anticipate crap to hit the fan? Okay, this is a loaded one and it's a lot. And as far as being his support, one, you just being there. Mm-hmm. I feel is support enough.
That's huge.
You don't really need to do anything. I think by doing something, you could actually cause more harm. So personally, I think your presence is the support you need. I would encourage him, if at all possible. It sounds like he's the person who's taken the high road the most of the time. This is somebody's funeral. So this event, it's not about him. It's not about his siblings. It's not about his mom. It's about the passing of grandma. This event, the focus needs to be on grandma and grandma's memory. If anybody tries anything, which it sounds like they might, especially if they haven't spoken in a decade, for me, people come at you to get a reaction. Mm-hmm. They are trying to feed something within themselves. So, and that reaction continues to feed that demon that's inside of them that they're struggling with. If it is even remotely possible, you have kept your distance this long, you are going into a hornet's nest. If they say anything, ignore it. If they do anything, ignore it. Do not give them the time of day. I would stick to myself. Mm-hmm. I would be mindful of the family that I do have connections with, but I would not give them anything to use against me.
Yeah, if I were in this situation, that's all I would need is for you to just be there, just to be by my side, just to support me through it. It's unfortunate that he's gone through it as long as he has, but because he has, he knows what it is. He knows his family. He understands the situation, and I think you just need to fill out his energy, and wherever he goes, I would go. Like, that's how I would support him through this, but I do believe that you literally just being there is going to be all the support he really needs.
Yeah, it's obviously, it's way too late to change any of the circumstances, so you just being in his corner is going to mean the absolute world to him. I know, like, when you feel like your entire family is against you, you can almost feel gaslit into thinking that you're the problem. So just by being there to validate the fact that, like, he's done everything he can to do what he believes is right in all these situations that he's been in, you know, it's not going to be an easy situation, but you just being there to, like, remind him who he is and that he wasn't at fault for any of the turmoil is going to mean the absolute world to him.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
For me, I would almost play goalie almost. I would run this by my husband first to see if that's what they wanted. But sort of like if somebody tries to come up and start drama, I think I'd be like, hey, today's about grandma's name. You know, we're grieving. let's just focus on grandma and sort of reinforce that, like, we're not here for your drama. It's a, you're at a funeral. But I think there's a way you can do it where you're not going to get people to blow up at the funeral. Yeah, they'll talk about you after and call you petty or whatever, but just redirect the focus. Or even he can say, hey, I'm really sad about so-and-so's passing. I'm here to grieve and pay my respects. And just draw that boundary. Like, that's why you're here today. You're not here for their petty drama.
See, now if I was her, I still wouldn't say anything because they'll be like, who are you? We just met you. Who are you to tell me what to say and do at my own room?
And I'd be like, bitch, I'm your worst nightmare.
Well, then there you go. The best advice you could ever get. It's The Burt Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at TheBurtShow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.